Welcome to NextPod, VP NextGen's podcast made for veterinary students and young professionals who want to know what's next. I'm your host, Sarah Said, and this month we are touching on leptospirosis. Here to discuss the subject with us is the Senior Professional Services Veterinarian for Merck Animal Health's Companion Animal Business, Dr. Taylor Tillery. Welcome, Dr. Tillery.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having us today. I'm so excited to speak with you and your viewership.
I'm excited to have you here. So before we begin, I'd just love to ask you a couple short questions about yourself, just so we can get to know you a little bit better. So the first one would be, which college/university did you attend and when did you graduate?
So I attended Oklahoma State University, and it seems like just yesterday I graduated, but it was actually 2012. So I've been out coming on 9 years now.
Awesome. And what got you interested in veterinary medicine in the first place?
Well, you know, Sarah, I've always been interested in animals, even from a young age. And I was raised on a farm with chickens, ducks, goats, cattle, dogs, you name it, right? And I started from there as a kennel tech and worked pretty much every portion of the hospital for many years in a mixed animal practice prior to getting into vet school. And thankfully, they let me in. And, you know, that's I can't imagine doing anything else other than being a veterinarian.
And how did you get to where you are today, career-wise?
Well, you know, upon graduating, I went into private practice immediately in the greater Dallas, Texas area. And I found myself struggling to pay off some of those student loans and stuff. So I started doing emergency on the weekends as well. And I also found that a lot of my clients, they expected me to have a lot of expertise when it came to surgery. So I found myself also starting up a doing surgeries in a shelter setting, which progressed to a business formation. So I wound up doing a lot of shelter services moving forward. Now, you know, others in leadership oftentimes for me modeled what to do and also what not to do. And I think from that, I became interested in other opportunities in personal and professional development. And that's really between that and networking with my, a lot of my industry reps really is what led me into where I'm at today. So I'm thankful for the people that got me to where I am.
Well, awesome. Thank you for introducing yourself. And today we're going to be discussing lepto and what actions veterinarians can take to better protect their patients. But before that, I just want to ask you other questions as well. So first of all, what is the one thing you wished you knew more about when you first started practicing?
Sarah, there's a lot of things I wish I would have known, you know, a short 9 years ago upon graduating. You know, like, when you think about it, I'm sure I've made plenty of mistakes. Part of practicing medicine is there's the practicing aspect of it, which means you're going to make some decisions that are great and make some other decisions that maybe aren't so great. And, you know, one that sort of I think about when I think back is, you know, one specific situation was one where I was working in emergency medicine several years back, and I got this 14-year-old lab came in. It was in the heart of Dallas, and, you know, it was referred. It was oftentimes what happens when you're in a specialty overnight type of situation, and it was diagnosed with renal disease. And the referring practice veterinarian, before sending it over to myself, you know, basically sent it over to be treated, monitored throughout the weekend. And I was just happy enough to inherit the case overnight. And, you know, they said, like, well, we think it's lepto or it could be lepto, right? And my thinking was, well, it could be, as I'm talking with the client and they're bringing it over from the other facility. But I'm thinking it's also, you know, it's an urban pet. It's a senior pet. And I was like, yeah, it's probably a little less likely, right? So and then this situation, what wound up happening is inevitably in an emergency clinic, you get really busy and there's a lot of patients coming in. And later on in the evening, that client wanted to visit again, right? They said, like, well, they had a little Yorkie as well. And they said, my Yorkie just seems like he's missing his other, you know, other four-legged friend and just seems a little off. And so, you know, I had, again, the discussion we talked about, you know, with renal failure with their dog about acute versus chronic. Of course, being an older dog, I'm thinking probably more like chronic, right? It's a 14-year-old lab. toxins, and then of course there's always the bacterial lepto component of it, right, which is zoonotic and is a concern, but it was just lower on my differential list. And so in this situation, they wind up bringing in their other little Yorkie, which to me on physical exam was pretty normal, right? We didn't do any, it was just a brief physical exam. I'd had a lot of other patients we're seeing, oftentimes really sick in an emergency setting. And so I kind of dismissed some of their concerns about their seemingly healthy pet to myself. And so fast forward this situation, right? And the next week, the urine PCR results did come back on that lab. And I'll be gosh, if it wasn't like, it was positive for lepto, right? So the client, the end result was that the patient wound up doing just fine. Both of them did fine, but both the Yorkie and the lab were wound up being positive for lepto, right? So I think, you know, in hindsight, it's one of those things where you sometimes think about that, you know, could we have started treatment maybe earlier on that dog? Clearly the client felt like their Yorkie was off, and I'm glad that there was a positive outcome in the end, but I think the client was a little frustrated that maybe they didn't get treatment as early as they could have.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned some good points about lepto. And is lepto a regional issue, and like, are only certain breeds at risk?
Well, you know, lepto really doesn't know any geographic boundaries. You know, it's a spirochete or kind of a corkscrew shaped bacteria that's transmitted by infected animals to oftentimes wildlife, right? And they spread it to other animals via their urine. And so it can be zoonotic, right? It can affect us as humans. It can cause severe disease in our pets. It can also cause severe disease in us. We wind up getting this. And I've learned from this experience, you really can't judge a book by its cover, right? The dogs in this situation were both in a really urban environment in the heart of Dallas. One of them was a Yorkie, right? Small breed. And when you think of that, like oftentimes we as veterinarians may typically avoid vaccinating them because we'll say they're smaller, their risk is less. It turns out lepto really doesn't discriminate, and it's just as likely to affect a small breed dog or a toy breed or an urban dog as it is a rural dog. And we've now seen studies that show some of that, those details as well.
Mm-hmm. And so how can veterinarians best protect their patients against lepto?
Well, because of urban and suburban wildlife, such as rats, mice, skunks, they all seem to carry lepto. I think it's important that dogs be vaccinated annually to prevent infection. There's other methods as well, right? So making sure there's no water and stuff such as that, like any standing water for your pet. But I think vaccination really is the key, right? And at Merck Animal Health, we've got the Novivac 4-way lepto vaccine has been shown to not only be effective in protecting the dogs against the disease, but also the transmission of the organism in the urine so that it prevents any type of zoonotic infection. And more recently, we came out with the Novivac Edge line, which is able to protect dogs against all the necessary core antigens, plus parainfluenza, plus all the lepto serovars. But it does it in half the volume of what a traditional veterinarian typically uses in veterinary practice.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for taking the time to share, you know, your advice and your experience with us and our listeners. We want to end also every little podcast with a little Q&A that shows off you. So the first one is, what is your ultimate career goal?
You know, like I said, I think being a veterinarian is like the greatest profession to work in. And even if you're not a veterinarian, if you're a technician, I've been there, right? I think it's fantastic to be able to work with animals. And so my goal is to make the best profession, in my opinion, even better, right? So I know that being a veterinarian right now has challenges. And my goal is, how can we make it a better profession for the future?
Yeah. And so is there a quote or a philosophy that you tend to live by?
I think there's a couple, right? I think one that sticks in my mind, and you know, being in medicine, knowing that we have to practice, in the absence of certainty, decisions still must be made, right? And so I think that's the first one. Like, oftentimes we take the best pieces, the best knowledge we have, and we have to make a decision. And sometimes those are right, and sometimes those are wrong, which is why I have a second one, right? Is it's This one is, it's impossible for anyone to begin to learn that which he thinks he already knows. And I think that's so true, right? Oftentimes we build upon a foundation and we think we know things, but you know, we can't ever be closed-minded because there's always new data and new information coming out that makes us wiser.
Mm-hmm. And so who inspires you to keep making a change and grow in the industry?
Well, I've had a lot of people that I look up to and a lot of people who I'm fortunate have mentored me and really helped me become a better individual, veterinarian, and leader. And I think one of them that really sticks out in my mind is Dr. Linda Lord. And, you know, she committed a lot of what she did. She was at The Ohio State, and she happened to be a colleague for a couple of short years before passing, and she was just passionate about improving the well-being in the veterinary space. So I really appreciate everything she taught me and inspired me to do.
Awesome. And so where can people find you, like on email, social media, and all that?
Yeah, I think I probably show up on all those, right? So as far as the LinkedIn, you can find me under Taylor Tillery. If you want to look us up, I do work for Merck Animal Health, and we've got a Merck Animal Health Professional Services team site under Taylor Tillery. Or if you want to email me directly, it's taylor.tillery with two L's at merck.com.
Great. Well, thanks again, Dr. Tillery. We appreciate you being with us. And a big thank you to our listeners. Remember, you are the future. Join us next month for another in-depth talk.